reported to the zoo director that the animals had been fed. Just before noon, the young lieutenant came back to the zoo leading the same 8 soldiers he had brought with him the day before. Fully armed again, they walked with a metallic clinking that could be heard far in advance of their arrival. Again, their shirts were blackened with sweat, and again the cicadas were screaming in the trees. Today, however, they had not come to kill animals. The lieutenant saluted the director and said, "We need to know the current status of the zoo's usable carts and draft animals." The director informed him that they had exactly 1 mule and 1 wagon. "We contributed our only truck and 2 horses 2 weeks ago," he noted. The lieutenant nodded and announced that he was commandeering the mule and wagon as per orders of Kwantung Army Headquarters. "Wait just a minute," the vet interjected. "We need those to feed the animals twice a day. All our local people have disappeared. Without that mule and wagon, our animals will starve to death. Even with them, we can barely keep up."
"We're all just barely keeping up, sir," said the lieutenant, whose eyes were red and whose face was covered with stubble. "Our first priority is to defend the city. You can always let the animals out of their cages if need be. We've taken care of the dangerous meat-eaters. The others pose no security risk. These are military orders, sir. You'll just have to manage."
Cutting the discussion short, the lieutenant ordered his men to take the mule and wagon. When they were gone, the vet and the director looked at each other. The director sipped his tea, shook his head, and said nothing. 4 hours later, the soldiers were back with the mule and wagon, a filthy canvas tarpaulin covering the mounded contents of the wagon. The mule was panting, its hide foaming with the afternoon heat and the weight of the load. The 8 soldiers marched 4 Chinese men ahead of them at bayonet point, young men, perhaps 20 years old, wearing baseball uniforms and with their hands tied behind their backs. The blue and black marks on their faces made it obvious that they had been severely beaten. The right eye of one man was swollen almost shut, and the bleeding lips of another had stained his baseball shirt bright red. The shirt fronts had nothing written on them, but there were small rectangles where the name patches had been torn off. The numbers on their backs were 1, 4, 7, and 9. The vet could not begin to imagine why, at such a time of crisis, 4 young Chinese men would be wearing baseball uniforms, or why they had been so badly beaten and dragged here by Japanese troops. The scene looked like something out of this world, a painting by a mental patient. The lieutenant asked the zoo director if he had any picks and shovels he could let them use. The young officer looked even more pale and haggard than he had before. The vet led him and his men to a tool shed behind the office. The lieutenant chose 2 picks and 2 shovels for his men. Then he asked the vet to come with him, and leaving his men there, walked into a thicket beyond the road. The vet followed. Wherever the lieutenant walked, huge grasshoppers scattered. The smell of summer grass hung in the air, mixed in with the deafening screams of cicadas. The sharp trumpeting of elephants now and then seemed to sound a distant warning. The lieutenant walked on among the trees without speaking until he found a kind of opening in the woods. The area had been earmarked for construction of a plaza for small animals that children could play with. The plan had been postponed indefinitely, however, when the worsening military situation caused a shortage of construction materials. The trees had been cleared away to make a circle of bare ground, and the sun illuminated this one part of the woods like stage lighting. The lieutenant stood in the center of the circle and scanned the area. Then he dug at the ground with the heel of his boot.
"We're going to bivouac here for a while,"
he said, kneeling down and scooping up a handful of dirt. The vet nodded in response. He had no idea why they had to bivouac in a zoo, but he decided not to ask. Here in Xinjiang, experience had taught him never to question military men. Questions did nothing but make them angry. And in any case, they never gave you a straight answer.
"First we dig a big hole here," the lieutenant said as if speaking to himself.
He stood up and took a pack of cigarettes from his shirt pocket. Putting a cigarette between his lips, he offered one to the doctor, then lit both with a match. The two concentrated on their smoking to fill the silence. Again, the lieutenant began.